Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast of Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Brian Monda.
And my name is Jeff Jackson.
Hey, Jeff. You know, we are into this series about refugees. And I just want to back up a little bit and have you define for us, what is the kingdom of God?
That's a good thing to start with on this podcast, Brian, because, you know, we've gone a little bit downstream on this subject already, and I think it's important to look at it through the whole idea of the kingdom of God. So, as I understand the scripture and in my study and so forth, the kingdom of God is basically the idea of God's rule and reign, his sovereignty, over an individual that's submitted to his rule and reign. I know, in the way most people, especially in the West, when they think about a kingdom, they think primarily of a geographic location, a geographic land with boundaries and borders, and that's where the kingdom is. It's in this one location. But, you know, biblically, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the words that are used in Hebrew and in Greek, the idea of a kingdom is where a sovereign has reign, rule, supremacy over his subjects. It's not specifically zeroed in on the location. It's the right to rule and reign over individual people. So the kingdom of God, in the simplest way that I know to express it, is the kingdom of God exists wherever there's an individual who has surrendered to his rule and his reign. He is their sovereign over their lives, and they can be in any geographic location and be obedient to him.
That makes a lot of sense. So we,
yes,
as citizens of the kingdom of God,
yes,
how should we view those who have lost their earthly citizenship in a country and, you know, have gone into refugee status, for example, since that's what we're talking about?
Right.
And what is our responsibility to them as citizens of the kingdom of God?
Well, you know, I think it's important to recognize, too, that, you know, God has wired us, humanity, to need rulership, to need government because of our sin natures and because of just the way he's wired us and we've surrendered to our own flesh and our own desires. God is the one who originally instituted governments. And so God wants people to live under governing authorities that restrain the evil that's inherent within them, that protects them from outside invaders, other people who are following their own sinful patterns, and so forth. And so living under earthly governments, or earthly kingdoms, you might say, is just the natural condition for all people that have ever lived on the planet. And
sure,
so
sure.
When you live under an earthly government, you then, you know, you're governed by them. So there's rules, there's laws, there's things that are acceptable to do and things that aren't acceptable to do. And you're held responsible and accountable for that government. And then depending on, you know, the view of the people within that government or the view of the leaders in that government themselves, you know, what are the responsibilities of those who govern to those that they do govern? And so when we look at the kingdom of God, we understand the idea that, hey, the kingdom of God can exist under any earthly government. The kingdom of God, believe it or not, is in North Korea, because there are individual North Koreans who have surrendered to his rule and reign, and they're living under a hostile government, but they're living for him. So when we understand the idea that the kingdom of God is primarily people submitted to him, and we understand that God's desire is to bring as many people into his kingdom as possible, when people are booted out of their own governments, when things happen, crazy things happen in their country, and their lives are in danger, and they've had to flee, and they go into what we call refugee status, which we already covered. What that does for us is it gives us the opportunity as citizens of God's kingdom to reach out to those people, and we need to view them through the proper lens. And the proper lens is they're people that need to be invited into God's rule and God's reign. They need to be explained to them what is the kingdom of God, the great joy that comes from surrendering to his rule and reign. We have a responsibility to do that, to invite them into the kingdom, and then to live out kingdom principles in the way we interact with them, with love, with grace, with kindness, doing things for them, you know, that would help relieve them in the midst of their crazy lives, their suffering, their having to relocate, their detachment from everything familiar. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. You know, it sounds Like, not only are we citizens, but we have a responsibility as citizens of this kingdom, as ambassadors of the king of that kingdom.
Yes.
To those in need, and we need to represent him properly. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's exactly what you're hearing. And, you know, that's what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5, the idea that every believer, in a sense, is an ambassador on behalf of the kingdom of God. And the beautiful thing about the way God set it up is that these earthly kingdoms that exist by God's permission, when they go sideways because of, you know, sinful man making the kind of decisions man makes, the kingdom of God and the members of his kingdom are usually in somewhat close proximity or in some way are provided an opportunity to reach out to them with God's love and God's truth and God's kindness in the midst of their greatest season of suffering in their lives.
One of the things that really resonated with me in previous podcasts was you just talking about the citizens of the kingdom of God are always on the front line in these situations. And so when earthly government goes sideways, that's when the kingdom of God's tent stakes get dug in and the citizens of that kingdom are mobilized. And a lot of times it's done very much behind the scenes. But as things play out, God gets the glory.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the way it's, you know, it's historically been in the fallen world that we live in, that the true citizens of God's kingdom, where he's ruling and reigning over their lives, because they've been given new life by him, they're going to engage the darkness. They're going to engage the chaos. They're going to move into where the need is, because they recognize that there's a kingdom that's more important than the government that they themselves live under and serve under. And, you know, one of the interesting dilemmas about America today, not, I don't want to go, you know, too far into the whole political realm, but, you know, what happens when, in a sense, the government you live under starts propagating ideas and principles that are contrary to the principles and ideas of the kingdom of God? And really, that's been the case for everybody throughout history since the church was birthed. That's been the normal situation, normal for everyone else, but it's not been the situation for us. And so whenever the kingdom of God seems to come in conflict with the government that we live under, and you're forced to choose one or the other, well, as citizens of God's kingdom, and we know who ultimately is in charge, we have to surrender and navigate according to the principles of God's kingdom, regardless of what our country has decided is the right way to go.
Jeff, I want to share just a real quick story with you, that something that happened this week to my wife and I. We met a lady walking her dog in front of our yard, and the little dog ran up to my wife, who, you know, dogs love my wife, who doesn't? And
yeah.
As we got to talking with this lady, it turns out that, you know, she teaches English as a second language in the state capital near here, which is 30 miles from here, where they have settled a group of Congolese refugees.
Okay.
And so that's who she serves in her regular job. Mm-hmm. I don't know where she is with the Lord or not, but as I shared, of course, you know, I talked about being a missionary and doing English as a second language as outreach in different countries that I've worked in. She says, "Oh yes, there's a pastor among these Congolese," and it's just so interesting how citizens of the kingdom of God are part of these refugees, and now they're reaching citizens of this country who are having to interact in their everyday job with them. And I just thought that was a pretty amazing thing, and right away I just, like, I've got to meet this guy, I've got to connect with this guy.
Yeah.
And find a way for the kingdom of God U.S. citizen to work with kingdom of God Congolese citizen.
Yeah. You know, Brian, that's a really, really insightful angle. And, you know, and because I've thought of that. When you think of refugees, as we've defined them in this series, you know, people that have had to flee from their homes because their lives are in danger. The ones that have gone to another country and they're looking to get resettled. You know, of all of those refugees, there are, in the midst of those refugees, citizens of God's kingdom that are brothers and sisters. The majority of them are not. They're people that are not yet in God's kingdom. And so as citizens of the kingdom, we certainly have the responsibility to reach out to people that are not yet into the kingdom and bring God's love and God's truth to them. But we also have the responsibility to reach out to those refugees that are brothers and sisters and fellow subjects of the kingdom. And here's the thing, and I love this angle that you brought up, the reality that because that pastor is a citizen of God's kingdom, and he's always looking to invite others into God's kingdom, it may be people that are there to help him because he's a refugee that opens a door to reach somebody that couldn't be reached any other way. And it's just another example of the sovereignty of God, which we talked about on a couple of podcasts ago, orchestrating all this. And the other thing that I think is important to understand is that in my dealing with refugees, both overseas and especially while I was in Phoenix, is a lot of the refugees that are fellow brothers and sisters, fellow citizens of God's kingdom, they have an understanding of God and a trust in God that goes way beyond mine. and rather than what I just saw, what became very clear is I really don't need to be sitting here instructing fellow believing refugees about how good God is or how to understand the truths of God's word. I need to just shut my mouth and learn from them what it's like to walk with God and be a citizen of his kingdom when the kingdom you've lived under, the government you've lived under, is absolutely hostile against your God and against anybody that's one of his followers. We need to be learners from those folks, not teachers of those folks.
It is just the upside down nature of the way God works.
Yes. And that's how you hear the kingdom of God referred to. It's an upside down kingdom. All of the things that the governments and the political systems of this world, almost everything that they value, that they think is honorable, is pretty much polar opposite of what brings honor and glory to God. And, you know, that's what Jesus did. Jesus came and he said, the kingdom of God is among you. And he invited people to come in, but he showed them that in God's kingdom, hey, greatness isn't based on how many people serve you. A person of honor is not somebody who has a bunch of people serving him. The person who has greatest honor is the one who serves selflessly the most number of people. It's an upside down system.
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything to add to that, anything to ask. I think that is a great place to leave our listeners and gives them a lot to think about and to chew on.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. To learn more about becoming a missionary with Shepherd Staff, go to ssmfi.org/join. Connect with us on Facebook or Twitter by searching @ShepStaff on either platform.